Welcome to Nursing Notes Live, compelling interviews with today's nurses who are changing healthcare. Brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing. Nursing Notes Live, presented by Johnson & Johnson, is the podcast extension of the national award-winning monthly e-digest, Nursing Notes, which shines a spotlight on nurses as innovators and critical change makers in the delivery of positive patient outcomes within today's healthcare landscape. You can subscribe to receive Nursing Notes updates at the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing website, discovernursing.com. Every month, Nursing Notes content is accompanied by two episodes of this podcast, which provides greater insights and nurse perspectives into topics discussed in the e-digest. You can listen to previous episodes of Nursing Notes Live on the podcast player at discovernursing.com, and don't forget to subscribe to the entire series on iTunes. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. In this episode of Nursing Notes Live, we talk with acute care nurse practitioner Adam Schneider, who worked as an organ procurement coordinator at the University of Wisconsin Organ and Tissue Donation Service for the last 5 years. Last year, he became the senior organ procurement coordinator. This leadership position allows him to focus on quality improvement projects to ensure his staff has access to the best evidence-based practices and ensures they can maximize the number of organs transplanted. Join us as we discuss processes nurses can champion that lead to improved patient outcomes, like organ donation. Hi, Adam. Welcome to Nursing Notes Podcast. It's great to have you here on the show. And I'd like to start off by just asking you to introduce yourself to the audience. Tell them a little bit about yourself and why you became a nurse.
Absolutely. And again, thanks so much for having me and letting me share my journey and the things that our team has done here at the University of Wisconsin. My nursing career, like many nurses, I'm sure, is it varied as things went along, and I didn't expect to be where I am today at the beginning of my movement through nursing. I actually started as a unit coordinator a long time ago at a psychiatric hospital, and I really enjoyed working there, and I ultimately got to see what the nurses did day in and day out, and that really led me down the path of wanting to go to school to become a nurse. On top of it, my mother is actually a nurse as well. She's been a nurse for, I'm going to say this wrong, of course, but probably almost 30 or more years, working for a primary care clinic. And so I went to school, and right out of nursing school, I became a critical care nurse. I worked for a local hospital as a float pool critical care nurse. So I would travel between the ICU, the ER, intermediate care units. And so I really gained a lot of experience working in a variety of critical care settings. And so as I was working in all those areas, I found that I really had a passion for providing end-of-life care to critically ill patients. I remember working with a few patients in the ICU who were, at the end of their journey, and I really felt a strong bond with being there for those families of those patients, and also for the patients themselves, even though, you know, they were towards the end. And I felt honored to be able to support those patients and families, and especially the ones who were experiencing a sudden and difficult loss. I enjoyed, hearing their stories and helping them through those difficult times. And so I really wanted to find a way to blend like my critical care expertise while helping these families and find something positive that I could provide for them. And I found a position working as an organ procurement coordinator at the University of Wisconsin Organ and Tissue Donation. And organ procurement coordinator for short is OPC. And the OPC really coordinates the entire donation process from start to finish. Our OPO, there's 58 in the country. Ours works with many hospitals in the state of Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Minnesota. And the responsibilities of the OPC is really to manage the patient from start to finish. So when a patient is given a poor prognosis, or the family is towards that moment of extubating the patient, before that happens, if the family is agreeable, or if the patient signed up on the registry, we can help facilitate finding transplant recipients. And so the OPC has a variety of protocols and guidelines that they can follow, and they essentially manage these patients. We do it over the phone at this OPO, and we'll stabilize the patient, tell what medications to give, what lab tests are needed to evaluate organ function, and we'll really support the family during that time as well. We'll do a medical social history with the family, find the recipients on the lists that the nation has, and then we'll sometimes even get on a plane and go fly out with the recovery team to get the organs and bring them back here to the UW Transplant Center. During this whole time, I was actually obtaining my doctorate as well, doctorate of nursing practice, and I was attending UW-Madison, and I was specializing in the adult gero acute care nurse practitioner degree. And so I was able to do all of that, working 3 12-hour shifts, go to class, fit in a couple clinical shifts for my degree. Didn't leave much time for fun, but I pushed through it for 5 years. And here I am now working as the senior coordinator. And I really focus on implementing good quality improvement projects that make sure that our nurses are practicing to their highest extent, and that we're really maximizing the donation opportunity for these families and these donors, because it's all about that management of the patient. And if we can do certain medications, or if we can do certain maneuvers on the ventilator that can help make sure that those lungs are transplanted, those are the things that our coordinators need to focus on. And I provide the tools for them so that we can make sure that the donation is successful.
And with over 100,000 people waiting for organs at any given time in this country, it seems like this is just such an important thing. And you actually did some groundbreaking work in improving the number of viable lungs that were being procured from these patients at the end of their lives, because lung tissue wasn't always being maintained in the proper fashion. Was that correct?
That's correct. Yep. We realized when we did a review of all of our data that our lung numbers were just kind of, they were okay. They weren't stellar. And we saw room for opportunity there to increase lung donations. And it was actually through my doctorate. The entire time that I was getting my doctorate of nursing practice, I always did my homework assignments and my research on organ donation. And it helped me realize that there was additional literature out there and research out there that showed if you did certain things, you would end up with more lung donations. And I said, hey, that's stuff that we should be doing here at the OPO, at our center. And some of these things were even being done in Spain. They were one of the leading areas that had great lung donations too. So when we saw that, we really thought, gosh, we need to do something different here. And that's kind of how the project that I created came about.
It's amazing to think about the ways that nurses impact things like this. And you were in the process of going to school and increasing your education, and found a way to integrate that process into your work and improve patient outcomes far beyond the original patient, because organ donation reaches so many different people and touches so many families beyond just the family that is donating those organs.
Absolutely. We sometimes call it the ripple effect. The nurses that are taking care of the patient, the respiratory therapists, the pharmacists, they are all touching this. The donor family, their friends and family, the recipients. Every organ donor can save up to 8 other recipients. You know, if you think about the liver, the kidneys, the pancreas, the lungs, the heart, and the intestines. And so, you know, this project that I worked on, it really focused on, you know, this one type of the lung donations. And, you know, we obviously are excited to kind of pursue other organs too, and making sure that we're going above and beyond what we're expected to do. But yeah, you're absolutely right. This kind of work is, and that's kind of why I've stayed in this area, and I don't anticipate leaving this kind of thing, because it doesn't feel like just work sometimes. Sometimes it really there's such an emotional connection and an impact, and that's kind of why I ended up in this area. And I'm glad I saw that this was, you know, my calling when I was in the ICU, and that this was so powerful, because it does help so many people.
You know, I've often felt that people that are strong nurses involved with end-of-life care and hospice care are, you know, experiencing something every bit as special as a labor and delivery nurse experiences with the beginning of life, because you're there supporting not just the patient at the end of their lives, but also their families, and with through organ donation, doing so much more beyond that.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many, like you said before, there's so many people involved with this, that it's also the fact that the organ procurement coordinators, our team, as well as our recovery team and our hospital development team, we've got a really large team that gets to participate in this. There's also the bedside nurses at the hospital. Last year we had about 150 organ donors in the state of Wisconsin, and it helps, you know, so many people. Really, it's only like 1 or 2% of the way that people pass away is in a way that can become an organ donor. It's not what people kind of envision in their heads when they're, you know, on a daily basis of, oh, if I'm in a car accident and I die, maybe I can donate my organs. You have to go, there's many steps to it, and you have to go to the ICU. You still have to have a heartbeat, because we need to do a lot of testing and a lot of management of these patients. And so it's even really cool to be a bedside nurse taking care of these patients, because it's so infrequent at each of these hospitals. Like I said, we have 108 hospitals. I think it's about 80% of our donor population comes from about the top 10 hospitals. As you would imagine, many of them go to, you know, trauma centers, you know, where they are going to have more resources, or they specialize in, you know, a neuro ICU or something like that. And so those nurses that are able to take care of the patients, you know, if your hospital only has a few donors a year, it's really something special to be able to take care of an organ donor. And so when I found this position, I realized that I could do this on a daily basis, along with a team that is just phenomenal here at the university. It was really impactful for me, and I'm excited that all the nurses are so dedicated. You know, actually, just yesterday, or was it the day before? I'm awful at timing right now. We had a raising the flag event across the state. It was actually Donate Life Wisconsin, which is an initiative here to focus in on organ donation. And I think it was about 84 or so hospitals all at the same time. It was done at 10:08 in the morning, and it represented that every 10 minutes, someone is added to the wait list. An organ donor can save 8 lives, so that's the 10:08. And we waited for about a minute and 14 seconds, and just as you had said a moment ago, there's about 114,000 people on the wait list, and we just kind of had a moment of silence for about a minute and 14 in honor of those people who are waiting on a daily basis, you know, thankful for the people who are being transplanted, and hoping that people don't pass away while they're waiting, because, you know, that number, it can fluctuate for a variety of reasons. That's the cool stuff, is to be able to be a part of this kind of thing.
You know, you talked a lot about the team involved with this, you know, the surgical teams and the various labs and lab teams and pharmacists and everybody else involved with helping to prepare these patients for donation and all the things that go into it. Talk a little bit about the importance of the nurse is kind of the leadership glue that holds that team together to make sure everything's coordinated and done. You do it at the upper level, obviously, as the coordinator in your position, but that filters down to the bedside nurse as well, correct?
Absolutely. There's two. I like to see it as there's a couple on each donor case. There's a couple nurses involved. There's the organ procurement coordinator. When I was hired as a nurse here, that's the role that I facilitated in. And sometimes across this country, there can be a variety of specialties in this position. It could be a respiratory therapist. It could be a an EMT, and sometimes that works for a lot of places. Because our organization works in a different way than a lot of other OPOs, we, like I said before, we remotely manage these patients over the phone. So we're kind of like an EICU at our OPO. And so what we do is we make phone calls to the bedside nurse, and the nurse there in the ICU who's taking care of the donor patient from this time of when the family is agreeable or if they understand now the prognosis to the point of going to the OR and recovering the organs, which can be sometimes 24, 48 hours before that actually happens, which is kind of a shock to some people because we need to do all this testing. We here at the university, we actually started hiring just nurses in this role. And specifically, we look for critical care nurses. And it's because of exactly that. We are, nurses are, the glue working between all the multidisciplinary teams. If you've got experience as a nurse at the bedside, you're used to calling the pharmacist and looking for a certain specialty. You're used to calling the social worker and saying, hey, I need you to come over here and talk to this family about this. You're used to getting the chaplain involved because, you know how to get a hold of all those people. And so the organ procurement coordinator here, we wanted the nurse in this role now because they've got that experience. And now they need to be able to call, the transplant surgeon in New York, or they need to be able to call, an HLA director to talk about the histocompatibility and will this be a good match for this patient. They're kind of leading this whole process along. And then not only that, but we also use the nurses at the bedside, and those nurses at the bedside have a tremendous experience with the same kind of thing, except at their local hospital. They know, if I need to go to the, if I need to get this medication, I need it here quickly, I'll call this pharmacist. We rely on that bedside nurse frequently for, if we want to set an operating room time and we're working with a hospital that we haven't talked to in a couple years, that nurse is going to know who to talk with. And so this nursing to nursing thing is really important that we notice to making sure that this process is facilitated well. But obviously everyone is part of the team because we need those pharmacists who make recommendations on antibiotics. We need our surgical technicians to help with the recovery of the donor. We need, we've got hospital development specialists that we work with to make sure that our cases go really well. And some of them are social workers. We work collaboratively with them too to make sure that the cases go well. Because if a hospital only has an organ donor once every year or a couple times a year, there's going to be some bumps in the road. And so we work collaboratively with all those people to really make sure that the process is smooth.
Final question for you, because you were actively involved in finding a way to improve a process under which, you had some oversight with, what are some of the things you might recommend to other nurses out there in their fields and their specialties that can help them be that champion for change and improvement in a process that they're seeing a place for improvement?
Yeah, the project that I worked on, I had this, it was my doctoral project, and it doesn't have to be a doctoral project. We outlined mine on the Focus PDCA model. It's kind of like an A3, and I'd recommend, if you're interested in quality improvement, kind of look up some sort of model that you can follow. And at our organization, anyone can make those changes. And, specific to nurses, nurses, especially at other, at hospitals, they're at the bedside. They see these problems day in and day out. And the best way to champion for a change is to share it. Nursing ideas are valued, they're necessary in order for patients to receive the best possible care that they can receive. And so frequently, you know, people will see a problem and your focus shouldn't be on, you know, complaining to a coworker about how something doesn't work or, you know, that you wish something was done differently. Instead, you should be posing those solutions and you really should be open to hearing what other people's ideas are as well to that problem. Like I said, throughout my doctoral project, I had an extremely clear vision as to the direction I was going, and that changed quickly. People started raising good points. They started providing feedback to the process. And the important piece here is that you ground yourself around the fact that you're looking to improve, patient care. Like many people say, a patient-centered care. And, you know, nurses are the leaders of these multidisciplinary teams, and we're experts at getting hold of all those players, and we're made for improving these processes. But you need to be able to bring those people on board because everyone else has good points and good thoughts as well. And so, you know, be open to those other ideas that people have. And sometimes that's one of the harder parts is, you've got an idea and you want to run with it and you're super excited. And if someone else has an idea, you've got to listen to them too. And you've got to see that they've got great points as well. And it's really meshing it together and figuring out what is the best way. And as long as, like I said, you've got that patient at the center of all of this, you can't do any wrong. And don't let, you know, nursing fatigue get to you. Don't look at what excites you and what are the things that make you want to go forward and make you want to improve the process. Because otherwise, you'll get stuck in a rut, and you've got to focus on those good things, and you'll never get bored. You'll be excited with it, and you'll get to make the change. And if you find good leaders who are in places that will help you with that, they should see the same thing, and they can't argue with wanting to improve patient-centered care either, because that's what we're all here for, is the patient.
Stay tuned for more episodes here at Nursing Notes Live coming soon, and check out another recent episode where I talk with Shauna Butler, a nurse economist, trendsetter, and champion of the entrepreneurse movement. Shauna and I talk about why nurses are uniquely qualified to be innovators and change agents for healthcare worldwide, and what every nurse can do to be a champion for change in their communities. You'll find that and other episodes of Nursing Notes Live in the podcast area on iTunes, as well as our podcast player on discovernursing.com. Nursing Notes Live is produced for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing by Medic Cast Productions. All rights reserved.